right, welcome everybody to Blake and Greg's ACC-SEC Weekly Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Greg.
And I am Blake.
And Blake, tell everybody why we're a little late this week.
Yeah, I want to apologize to our listeners, LSU Bill, and the rest of our, Mizzou CK. Everybody who listens to our show, I want to apologize. I went to the beach for a few days, and I just got back. And so the being late is on me. It's my fault, not Greg's fault.
It's normally mine, but this time it wasn't, so I got to.
And I'm going to be like the heel wrestler. I apologize for nothing. I'm sorry. I'm late a few days, but it's my fault.
But better late than never is what we like to say here.
That's what they say, right?
Yep. So let's roll into this, Blake. Let's start with Tennessee getting a win, getting a conference win at home against Mississippi State. Final score 20-10. Mississippi State was a 7-point favorite, and you actually picked a very close win for Mississippi State, but enough to earn you the victory against the spread. I, of course, picked Mississippi State to win and cover. That was dumb of me. Did you watch any of this game, Blake?
No, I did not. I don't know what time it came on, but I'm sure there was a better game on paper, at least while this game was on. But Tennessee was clearly the better team in this game. So it wasn't a fluke by any stretch. They were better. So
which is unusual in this day and age.
It is, but you know, we're talking about. Tennessee. I thought showed flashes against Georgia. With the freshman quarterback, but of course he got hurt, and they brought in
Guantanamo
later in this game. So, but they showed flashes against Georgia. They just weren't nearly consistent enough. Georgia rolled them, but you saw some kind of light at the end of the tunnel, kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So, for Tennessee, heck, you know, Jeremy Pruitt needed a win of any sort, and he got one. And I don't know how much that calms the natives in Knoxville, but maybe it does. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm going to throw something out, Blake. This is going to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. Tennessee threw the ball 14 times.
Wow.
And Mississippi State threw the ball 21 times.
Jeez.
35 pass attempts between both teams total.
We're going back to wing T, man.
Yes, indeed. Marr had a bad game, as you mentioned. Guantanamo came in. Marr had a couple of picks. Guantanamo, 6 for 7, 106 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. I guess if you're not going to throw the ball much, 6 for 7 is pretty good.
It is good. It is good. So he played well and came to save the day. So, you know, and it's easy to, it's like we love the backup quarterback. We always, I think most teams, if your guy's struggling, putting the backup in, he plays well, you're like, oh man, we got us a guy. But remember, he's a freshman.
Yep.
And the same thing with this kid here. He's a freshman, and freshmen won't have days where they're not on. And this was one of those days. So luckily they could go back to Guantanamo or whatever his name is. And he didn't, I think he was a good teammate through all of it. So I give him a lot of credit because I saw him trying to help him against Georgia. He was up there in his ear talking to him, trying to give him some information, some pointers or whatnot. So actually I give him a lot of credit, Guantanamo. I think he's a pretty good kid.
Yep, indeed. So Tennessee gets the win. So they are, 2-4? On the season now. They had a much needed win. Mississippi State 3-3. I guess postseason is still a possibility for Tennessee. Maybe. I don't know. I got to look at their schedule.
Their schedule softens at the end of the season, but it's still going to be tough because they still got Missouri.
Well, all right, Blake. But okay. They got to win. Well, they got to win 4 games. I see 3 very winnable games.
Vandy, Kentucky is the other one.
UAB.
Yes.
But then there's South Carolina, Mizzou, and Bama. So they got to win all 3 winnable games and win
Where's Mizzou?
Mizzou is at Mizzou.
Okay, then they forget it. So basically South Carolina's a game.
Pretty much. That's the linchpin. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see. All right, let's move on. Speaking of Bama, let's talk Bama A&M. This game, final score 47-28. Bama was a 16.5-point favorite coming in, and they won and covered barely by a point and a half or so. We both did pick them to win and cover, so nicely done there. Anything stand out to you with this game, Blake? Was this pretty much expected? Let's see. Final score 47-28. You said 42-20. I said 38-17. We were pretty darn close to the spread.
Yeah, just I think that there's some things about Bama that aren't typically Bama-like. Their defense is not what it used to be. Now, is that because I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Bama's so young and they have some big injuries and they're very young. So that probably plays a factor. But I tell you, another issue with Bama, their running game is not near what it used to be.
Yep,
and to me, that's a problem. I think it'll be balanced. It's tough to go out there and sling it around the yard and beat everybody. Yeah, you can do that against some teams, but against the Ohio States, the Clemsons, the Oklahomas, I don't know if you can do that. So I'd be worried if I'm Bama a little bit because they're too dependent on Tua. If something happened to Tua, what do you do?
Yeah, good question.
They have great wide receivers, but somebody has to give them the ball, and there's nobody better than Tua at doing that. So Bama's got to find more balance, and maybe on defense they'll get a little better as the season goes on and those guys get some more experience. But this is just a different Bama team, man. It's just not what we're used to seeing.
And you and I were talking on Saturday because I was watching – obviously I was watching this game, and so were you. And I was flipping between a lot of games, but this is one of the ones I was flipping between. And watching Tua, and as we've talked many times, I agree with you in that I think Alabama has the best receiving corps in the nation. And I also think they have the best quarterback in the nation. So I think it's – and watching Tua throw the ball, watching his guys, whether it's Judy, whether it's Smith, whoever it might be, watching those guys run their routes, catch and run, it's a thing of beauty, actually. It's really fun to watch. It's beautiful to watch, actually. Tua is, there are guys, there are guys like Tebow, in college where he put the ball where it had to go, but it didn't have that look to it. Tua has so much touch on the ball and so much precision, so much accuracy. He just drops it right in where it needs to go. It really is a thing of beauty watching this team play. But I agree with you. The running game is not what it has been in years past, and the defense is not what it has been in years past. It might be good enough to win. It might be good enough to win at all.
It might be.
If you had to point to something negative, I guess that's what you'd point to. A&M, on the other hand, 3-3.
Look, we expect them to lose this game, and I thought they fought hard. I think Kellen Mond, he's a guy who hasn't gotten much better. He's kind of what he is. He's a terrible deep ball thrower to me, but he's a great thrower. He's a great slant thrower to throw over the middle. He can throw the crossing routes, the slant routes. Very accurate, good athlete. But on the deep balls, he's not very good on the touch passes.
Right.
He's just not that kind of quarterback. So he kind of is what he is. And A&M's a solid team, but they're not maybe what people thought they would be coming into the season, because I think maybe Jimbo Fisher's first year, he surprised some people. Plus, their schedule's tougher, too. Let's be frank about that.
That's
a tough schedule.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe not quite what we thought they would be, but they're still a tough out. And Tua, like you said, man, Tua's brilliant. But also his receivers, if they get the ball in space, they can make one move and score. They have those kind of athletes. And the guy who really stepped up Saturday was Jalen Waddle in the return game. How many times did he have big return to start them drives? Said their own 35, the A&M 35. Yeah. I mean, that happened the whole game. Jalen Waddle is another very explosive receiver to go along with Ruggs and Judy and Smith. So they're loaded, but they're not.
What else is new? Yeah.
It's different. It's different.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, and we'll get to, of course, LSU. We talk a lot about how LSU changed their offense overnight. And I've never seen a team that changed it overnight like they did.
No.
Change as drastically and as quickly. But you know what? Bama's not that far behind. We're only a couple years removed from the sort of ground and pound, play defense,
with Jalen Hurts, frankly.
Yeah. And he would make plays when he had to, but a lot of times didn't have to. Defense would get a scoop and score or a pick six or return a kick for a touchdown or whatever, and just kind of play defense and run the ball. That's only been a couple of seasons.
Yeah, but in those days Bama had, they had Damian Harris, they had Josh Jacobs, they had some more. Well, I mean, the running game was a little bit more talent. I mean, they had more talented guys actually carrying the ball. Now we have Najee Harris, who's a very talented guy, but he's I don't think he so far has proven himself to be as good as the other guys. And behind him, the depth's pretty shaky. They're the top running back recruit in the country, tore his knee up, so he's out for the year. So Bama's dealing with something that they're not used to dealing with at the running position, and that is lack of depth, and they don't have that right now. And their O-line, I think, is not quite what it used to be in the run-blocking game. But they're still very, very good.
Yes, agreed. So A&M, sitting at, we know Bama. We know Bama is what they're sitting at and what their aspirations are, and we know what they're likely to do. A&M, on the other hand, sitting at 3-3, and Blake, so the six games left, and it's – I can see them getting to 6-6. I don't know about 7-5, man. Well, maybe. I'll read you the games. All right, so they go to Ole Miss. They host Mississippi State and UT San Antonio, and then South Carolina. And then they go to Georgia and then to LSU. Those are two tough games at the end of the season.
I think they're probably a 6-6 team, Greg.
I think so too. I think they'll get to those six wins. The South Carolina game, hey, much like Tennessee, the South Carolina game is a linchpin, right? Whether they go 6-6 or 7-5.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could say they got Ole Miss on the road. They got Mississippi State at home. They probably win Mississippi State. Ole Miss on the road a little tougher. South Carolina at home maybe a little bit tougher, but. I don't think they win either the LSU or Georgia game.
I don't think so either.
I don't see them doing that. So that makes them. I mean, they could go 7-5, but they got to win out and win every, like, you know, questionable game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's gonna be tough. And if they do that, I mean, 7-5 would be a good year for them actually.
Yep.
So that's what they got to shoot for.
So let's say they do go 7-5, Blake, and if you're an A&M fan. You know, that might not quite quench your thirst if you're an A&M. Because I know expectations were high. But if you go 7-5, Blake, and think about who your losses are to. Your losses are to Clemson, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah.
That's understandable, you know? Yeah, I mean, you'd like to win one of those, but.
Because also that says you ran the table with the rest of your schedule.
Right.
That's tough to do. So, yeah, if they – I mean, 7-5 would be a good year, I would think.
I don't know if it's a good year for A&M fans. That remains to be seen.
If you put it in context and see, but I guess they're thinking, well, we didn't beat any of those teams. We should be at least one of them. Maybe they're saying that. I don't know. But also, okay, let's say they go 7-5 and they upset somebody. Like, let's say they go to LSU and win, or go to Georgia and win, and they lose to Ole Miss or South Carolina.
Right. Yeah, which would you prefer? Yeah.
7-5 is better than the 7-5. Probably if they don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at least they get that big win. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, yeah, this schedule is brutal.
It's awful.
To play in the West is bad enough. To draw Georgia and South Carolina from the East is also bad.
And
Clemson out of conference. That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
All right, man, let's move on. Let's talk UNLV at Vandy. All right, Blake, 34-10, UNLV beat Vandy. I'll say this. They did make it a lot easier for me to do number 14 in my power rankings.
My God. Vandy's horrible. This is so Derek Mason's last year in Nashville. I feel pretty sure. Look, I understand if you're Vandy, it's hard, but they got their doors blown off by UNLV, who is not a good football team, by the way.
No, they're not.
So, I mean, they got beaten by a team that's very middle of the road of their conference, which is a lower what do you call it? Non-Power 5.
Yeah, Group of 5, yeah.
Yeah, and they blew the doors off Vandy on the road. So, yeah, it's not good in Nashville, man. If you're a Vandy fan, I'm sure you're like, okay. Mason's a nice guy. He did a decent job for a while, but it's time to move on. Try somebody else. I think that pretty much now you're Vandy, you're probably thinking that. If things don't get better this season, which I don't think they will, then it's probably Mason's last year in Nashville.
Well, looking at the schedule, I don't know how it could get better. You got Mizzou, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, Eastern Tennessee State, and then Tennessee. You might be able to eke a win, maybe one win out of that.
Maybe one, two if things break right.
If things break right. But you're talking about a one-win team right now. So you're talking about...
Yeah, so 2-10, yeah. Yeah.
And like you mentioned, UNLV is not a good team, Blake. They are not. They lost to Arkansas State by almost by like 25. They lost to Northwestern by a couple of scores. They got blown out by Wyoming. They lost to Boise State, which is understandable.
Talk about Wyoming. Wyoming's not bad.
Right, but they absolutely got spanked by Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
53-17 was the final score of that.
Yeah, they're not very good.
No.
They're not good. And Vandy is lousy. I mean, it's just what they are. I hate it for them. But, and then Vandy, too, if you're Vandy, you're like, you know, we get a coach. And if the coach is any good, he's going to be gone in 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
You know, and if he's not a good coach, yeah, I mean, so if you're Vandy, it's kind of like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
If you're you want to find that magic.
Cutcliffe.
Yes, the magic Duke formula where you find a guy who will perform, either overperform a little bit or will perform as expected year in and year out and has no interest in taking another job. I don't know how you find that guy. I think Duke was very fortunate to get that guy, but that's what you want if you're Vandy.
Yeah, it almost has to be a guy like a Cutcliffe who's already had jobs, is kind of looking to wind it down, and is happy living in Nashville, which I don't know why you wouldn't be. It's a great city. But just happy to have that kind of stress-free job where, you know, getting to a bowl game is very, very good for the fan base. So I don't know where you find that coach, but like that'd be a perfect job for somebody like in not now but later for a Mike Leach.
Yeah.
He's like 65 years old or something.
And he can like experimental stuff and doesn't really matter.
He's already have the jobs he wanted. But his swan song job of just kind of a low maintenance, you know, that kind of guy. Somebody like that. Somebody like a David Cutcliffe. Somebody like a yeah, it's kind of hard to think of.
Yeah, it's a tough category to fill.
It's Mack Brown.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
Who took the UNC job, of course. But you know, somebody like that, a Butch Jones. No, I'm just kidding. But somebody, yeah.
So, yeah, Vandy sucks. Got absolutely destroyed by a bad, not even a mediocre, but a bad UNLV team. Not looking good in Nashville, as you said. Let's move on. Let's talk Mizzou beating Ole Miss 38-27. God, Blake, 38-27. They won by 11. The line was 12.
Yes.
Vegas did an excellent job.
They did.
So we both did pick Mizzou to win and cover, and by God, they almost did. In fact, we were both pretty close, but not close enough. So Mizzou, hey. Mizzou's in the driver's seat in a lot of ways.
This is a team that they lose to Wyoming. They're undefeated right now.
Yeah,
think about that.
And I think a lot more people would be talking about them if they didn't lose to Wyoming.
And people thought that there was a chance they would be undefeated going into the later part of the season because, you know, Mizzou drew, I mean, they have a good schedule. From the West, they draw Ole Miss and Arkansas.
That's correct.
And their out-of-conference was not bad. Of course, Wyoming turned out to be a loss, but – and then, of course, in the East, they draw everybody, but they're a very favorable schedule. And on top of a team they expect to be pretty good, you add Kelly Bryant to the mix, a veteran quarterback. I think fans have high expectations, and I understand why. You know, Mizzou C.K. sent us an email, and he was very high on the Ole Miss quarterback, too, by the way.
Yep, Plumlee, yeah.
But he has a right to be excited, too, because – I mean, and I think he does seem pretty excited because this team's pretty good. And I think that maybe people wrote him off after Wyoming, like you said. But I think those games happen sometimes. They happen. But it's how you respond to it, and they responded very well to it.
Yep. So, yeah, we did talk actually in the beginning of the season where we talked about how, hey, if Mizzou, if things break right, they could be 8-0 going into Georgia, and that'd be fantastic for them if they could. And things didn't break right starting in week one, but they have since then. So now, Blake, they're just a Vanderbilt and a Kentucky game away from being 7-1 playing going to Athens. And they tend to give Georgia a hard time. We know that. And also now we know, as you well know, Georgia is beatable, and Mizzou is a pretty solid team. The only thing is, as we are well aware, Mizzou has some issues with the NCAA that they are appealing.
It's true.
We don't know when that decision will be handed down and what kind of effect that decision will have on the rest of the season.
Yeah, we don't know that. That's true.
So that is looming, of course. But for now, it's not bad to be a Mizzou fan. I'll tell you that. Things are looking good because, Blake, when you count Vandy and Kentucky and then also Tennessee and Arkansas, you're talking about this could be a 9-win team pretty – I don't want to say easily, but, like, I can see that.
Yeah, happening. I can very well see that, too. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a 9-win – and a chance to win 10 in a bowl, it's a heck of a year.
Right.
And then if things break right, they could be a 10-win team with a chance to win 11 in a bowl. Who knows?
Right.
Now that's tough. That's tough. But
doable.
It's, It's doable. Yeah. It is doable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what else we can say. Mizzou CK had a lot of things to say about this, but he actually gave a lot of, like you said, heaped a lot of praise on Plumlee, which I agree. He actually is a good, he's a really good player.
And a great fit for what Rich Rod wants to do too, by the way.
Yeah. And a lot of, obviously what they do, does revolve around Plumlee, but absolutely a good fit for what Rich Rod wants to do. Good offense, by and large. Yeah. 246 yards for Plumlee and 197 for the whole rest of the Ole Miss team, CK said.
Yep.
Which tells you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
But good win for Missouri. Hey, sky's the limit. I mean, really, if you can somehow, you know, you can somehow do what you're expected to do and sneak a win over Georgia, which is tough to do, but if you could do that, that'd be, what an amazing season that would be for you.
It would be, yeah. So, I mean, if he's, and also, I'm sure Mizzou has a little chip on their shoulder, because I don't know if you noticed this. I don't usually watch game day, but I did this time. On game day, a lot of the guys were picking Ole Miss to win this game outright.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Davis even was very, very adamant about Ole Miss probably winning this game. And, you know, so, yeah, there's a disrespect thing there, I think.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with the Wyoming game.
I think so, too, but things like that happen.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it a lot with teams who will drop one early, a game they probably shouldn't drop, and they turn it around. And I think Mizzou's kind of in that same boat.
In fact, Blake, I got an argument with an Ohio State fan the other day who said something like, something to the effect of, you know, Clemson shouldn't, this actually a week or so ago, Clemson shouldn't be ranked. They barely beat UNC. They don't deserve to be in the playoff, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hang on. I said, wait a minute. I seem to recall a few years ago, early in the season, Ohio State dropped a game to a mediocre Virginia Tech team at home,
mm-hmm.
actually lost the game by a couple touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. and then ended up going to the playoffs and winning the national championship.
Yep.
And I said, wait, so you're telling me Clemson doesn't deserve to get in with a close win and Ohio State can get in with a loss against a comparable team?
Yep.
So, you know, these things do happen. Teams yep. do drop games early.
And that's a good argument. Yeah, because exactly. From week one to week 12 – it could be an entirely different team. We know that.
And also, there are so many intangibles about that game, as we mentioned.
Sure.
Going to altitude, new quarterback. You know, I mean, there's so many mm-hmm. things going on. And plus, just week one, you're always going to be rusty. No team looks great week one. But yeah, it was an unexpected loss for sure. But somehow that has sort of tainted Mizzou in a lot of people's minds.
Yes.
And, yeah, and if you watch Mizzou and you've seen some of the results of their games, like, this is a solid team, man. I wouldn't want to play them.
No, I mean, no, they're a solid team. They do. They have a good running and passing game, and I think they're better defensively now. I mean, losing Garrett did hurt, like CK said. That hurt. But I still think they're pretty solid defensively. So you got a solid defense. You got a quarterback who's a veteran who is a good, legit dual threat guy, can run or pass. You got a good group of receivers. You have a pretty good running game. Yeah, sorry, but very good team, man.
Yep, I agree. So let's move on. Let's talk Kentucky, Arkansas briefly. These are two teams that I think we know are both towards the bottom of the pecking order in the SEC. Kentucky ended up winning this game 24-20. They were favored by 7. We both actually picked Arkansas outright. In fact, Blake, you picked Arkansas 24-20. I had to look at that twice because I was like, wait a minute.
But
we both picked Arkansas to win. They did end up covering, so we get that little cover there. I know the Natives are getting restless in Fayetteville. And we've talked every week pretty much about how tough it was going to be for Arkansas to make that change from Bielema's scheme to what Chad Morris wants to do. Is it unreasonable to say that they should have won a conference game by now, Blake, or is this still in the grace period?
Well, they probably should have. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have. They probably should have, but at the same time, I think it's crazy to talk about, I mean, giving up on Chad Morris already. I think it'd be. I don't care what they do the rest of the year, Greg. I think if they gave up on Morris after only two seasons, I think that's absolutely ridiculous, because he's not dealing with what they're dealing with at Georgia Tech, as far as it's not that major of a shift roster wise and turnover wise, but it is not far off when you go from Brett Bielema's system, that old Wisconsin ground and pound, 6'5", 350-pound offensive linemen who are not the athletic type, but the road grader type, to what he wants to do with a spread. It is almost, that is a not a quick fix. He needs 4 years. I firmly believe that. Really probably 5, but he needs to be given at least 4 years, Greg. I just don't think that's fair to him or the team to go ahead and can him after just 2 years. Now, I think a lot of Arkansas fans are starting to wonder if they should. I don't think they should.
Well,
I really don't.
I understand their frustration because it's been a long time since Arkansas's won. It's been since Petrino was there, quite frankly, since they've been you know, had decent success. I think Bielema took him to a couple of bowls, but he was never more than what, a 7-win guy, was he?
Yeah, he was like a 7-win guy, but I mean that's what set them back was Bielema.
Right.
I mean, his system. Because you bring in guys to run that system, and it's really difficult to change that into what Chad Morris wants to do.
Yep.
You brought in Chad Morris for offense. You brought in Chad Morris for his spread scheme. Give him a chance to implement it. And if you do not let him recruit his guys, then he didn't get a fair shake in my book.
Nope, I agree. So let's talk LSU Florida. 42-28 was a final score. LSU was a 13.5-point favorite. So Vegas, again, very close. You took Florida in the points. I took LSU.
Yeah, I did. I thought I was going to win that for the whole – I mean, I got this in a bag. The whole game I thought that.
Well, yeah, me too. Because it's funny, Blake, because our picks – yours was 34-21. Mine was 35-21. So we were both just right on the other side of that half point.
We both thought that spread was
right on it.
It was.
Yeah, this was – of course, LSU Bill was excited about this game. This was an interesting game. In fact, Bill wrote us an email – and he said, go Tigers. Which, by the way, was it this week or was it the week before? I think it was the week before when we had that great Ed Orgeron soundbite that I don't think I mentioned. Did you hear this where they were interviewing before the game? And he said, what did they say? What do you think about playing at Death Valley or something? He said, where opposing dreams go to die. Or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I heard that.
It was a great soundbite.
I heard that too. Yeah,
but Bill said it would be easy to strut and crow about how good my Tigers are, but my biggest takeaway from the game was how fun it was to watch. Fast paced, well played, and well coached. And Coach O, how can you not admire this dude and root for his success? He is now 7-3 over top 10 teams, which that is incredible.
That is fantastic.
And has won 5 of his last 6. This is the same total as Dabo and Kirby, and if you could understand what he says, you'd probably be very impressed.
I can understand that Cajun accent, brother. I can understand that. Yeah, it's awesome, man. But like he said, I was impressed with Florida too. It's a very well played game. LSU was just beyond efficient. Burrow's just, I think right now Burrow's the Heisman front runner in my opinion.
Yeah,
I really
agree.
That
21 for 24.
Yeah,
21
for
24.
He's on another level, frankly. And also the running game came alive Saturday. For LSU. Hadn't really much this year, but Saturday it did. Edwards-Helaire ran well. Mm-hmm. Number 4 ran well. The offensive line blocked very well. I think the offensive line played fantastic. I think even Bill said that. I think he actually mentioned that.
Yep.
Their line
yep.
played very well, run blocking and pass blocking. But also Burrow gets rid of the ball pretty quickly. So that kind of is tough for Florida for their D lineman to get penetration when he gets rid of the ball so fast. But the receivers played well. But also Kyle Trask played well. He put some balls right on the money. I cannot believe this kid was not starting over Franks. I'm amazed that he hadn't started really since JV.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible to me because that guy's been playing in the NFL, Greg.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's big kid with a big arm. Knows where to go with the ball, is accurate. It was actually a really clean game, fun game to watch.
It was fun. And LSU pulled away towards the end, as we know. This game was tied at halftime. 21 all, could go either way. And then LSU pulled away a little bit in the second half. But yeah, it was a really fun game. The only thing I'll say is I think LSU Bill put his O-line in his Hall of Fame. I think that's fair because
totally.
Yep. The only thing I'll say, if you're an LSU fan, you got to be ecstatic about this season, of course. And we mentioned never seen a turnaround like this, offensive turnaround. And hey, now you got Coach O 7-3 against top 10 teams. How can you ask for anything better than that? The only thing I'll say is that LSU's defense, that is a point for me to pick on, I think. There wasn't a lot of adjustment with the defense. Florida seemingly could do that little screen pass and get 20 or 30 yards pretty much every single time they did it. And it was almost like LSU would never adjust.
It's funny to mention that because I have that in my Hall of Shame, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
But I'll say this because he's exactly what you're talking about, by the way. But they don't have a. I mean, they don't have a pass rusher like they. Like, I mean, the one kid number 18 is a little undersized, good pass rusher. But they lack on the defensive line. They usually have pass rushers. They don't really have that right now. For some reason, they don't have that. I don't know if the guys term pro. They just missed on some guys. They're missing a couple pass rushers. I think they will get that because Ed Orgeron can recruit. I think he'll get those. But right now, they have to be creative, and they're not very creative, frankly, with what they do on defense. And that'll be something I'll mention later.
Okay, fair enough. So, but in the meantime, great win, obviously. In fact, Bill, this was such a good win that even, you know, beating Florida State by 30 points wasn't enough. LSU still jumped Clemson in the rankings, which I know a lot of Clemson fans are mad about. I couldn't.
It's meaningless.
It's totally meaningless. I couldn't care less.
Who cares?
I think, Blake, it's honestly just meant to just to drum up conversation and just to get people agitated. I think that's the whole thing behind it. But
frankly, I'd have no issue with LSU being number one right now, based on who they beat in their body of work.
Yep. I think that's fair, too.
Over Bama, over Clemson, over. But actually, for what I've seen this year, I have no problem with Ohio State being number one, right? Or Oklahoma being number one.
I know.
But I don't care who you put there. It doesn't matter. It'll all shake out at the end of the season.
We know it'll shake out because LSU and Bama play. We know that. Oklahoma.
I think it's pretty clear at the end of the day, Greg, from what I've seen so far, I don't think Oklahoma's getting beat in the Big 12. I just don't see it. Ohio State ain't losing the Big Ten. Who do you think? Wisconsin?
That's the only one. Or maybe Penn State.
I think the two athletic. I'd be shocked if they did. I think they're the real deal, actually. And then you have the winner of the SEC and Clemson. And I think probably it's going to be those four, whether it's LSU or Bama, I don't know. But Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. I think the most likely two to run the table are Clemson and Oklahoma. But I think Ohio State's right there too. I think they're pretty darn good.
What if,
I hate to say it, but I think they are.
I think they are too, but I don't think they're unbeatable. And Wisconsin's one dimensional. We know that, but I think they're really good at that one dimension. But
I just don't know athletically if they can match up with Ohio State. I don't know. I hope they can. I really do.
I saw somewhere, Blake. I think they have
eight 4-stars.
Eight 4 or 5 stars. Yeah. Eight.
I saw that list, and like y'all had what 40,
and Bama has 65.
Yeah, and there's another one that was high that I was surprised it was so high. Well, Notre Dame was high.
Yeah, they were high.
I have to find that list, but there was another one that I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive.
They all have to find it. Find and refer to it. But anyway, good win, LSU. It'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. Florida, of course, now is 6-1, which ain't bad. If you'd told me Florida was going to be 6-1 at this point in the season, early on, I might not have believed it. But
and Florida's legit. I doubted them in the first of the year. I thought they were a fraud, but I don't think so anymore. Since Kyle Trask has taken over, they're a different team.
Yep.
I think they have Felipe Franks. They'd have at least 2 losses by now, maybe even more.
Well, a lot of this has to do with, we talked about the sin of judging Mizzou by that first game. A lot of it has to do with what we saw from Florida in their first game against Miami, an average Miami team.
That was also Felipe Franks, too.
It was Felipe Franks, but we saw them struggle to beat an average Miami team, and you thought, oh, okay, this team's just sort of so-so. But, yeah, with the way they played in this game, and I know they lost, I know LSU covered the spread, but at the same time, the way they played in this game in a harsh environment, I don't know if you remember, but I picked LSU. The reason I picked LSU to win and cover was I said, hey, Trask is a good player, but he ain't played in Death Valley at night. This is going to be tough for him. And actually, he played well. I mean, he made a couple of mistakes. He had a pick, 23 for 39, but, I mean, 310 yards.
Yeah, pretty darn well. And I'm going to tell you something. If Kyle Trask is not, or if Franks is not injured, I'm not sure they beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky was winning that game when Kyle Trask came in the ballgame. In fact, they were up by like 2 scores.
Yeah.
So if Felipe Franks is the quarterback, this team probably has 3 losses.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Kyle Trask, the guy who hasn't played since he was 15 or whatever, comes in and looks like not Tebow, but a drop back. I mean, this big drop back experienced passer. He reminds me of the kid. He reminds me of the guy that Alabama had before Tua. Coker.
Oh yeah, Coker before Hurts then too.
Yeah. Remember Coker, the tall,
Yeah.
you big arm. I mean, that's what reminds me of, a tall guy with a big arm who's got decent mobility is what it reminds me of. But yeah, he's a great player. I'm just thoroughly impressed with him. I don't like what they do with the quarterbacks too much. I think that's going to backfire at some point when because they still bring the other guy in, Jones. It's just odd when they do it, because a lot of times Trask can be playing well and they throw Jones in the game for a drive. Well, against LSU, you need to be that's you have to score every drive almost, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a good idea. I get it sometimes, but I'm not a big fan of that. Just play a guy so he won't transfer, because that's what they're doing.
Right, I
They're playing.
agree. I don't understand why they're doing that. I mean, I understand it, but I don't like it. I don't like it either.
I think it makes much sense because it's hard to get sometimes when you lose rhythm, it's hard to get it back.
Right.
And this kid they got, I'm not saying he's not a good prospect, but if Trask is playing really well, I think it makes sense to pull him off the field, Greg.
Nope, I agree. All right, Blake, let's talk about your game. I know you're itching to talk about this. You may not have been, or at least you may not have thought you would be in the first overtime, perhaps, or maybe quite a few moments during this game, but I'll bet you are interested in talking about this game. 20-17, South Carolina beats Georgia in Athens in double overtime. Georgia was a 24.5-point favorite. We did both take South Carolina in the points. We did not, neither one of us picked South Carolina to win outright. Blake, I'm curious as to your thoughts. I'm going to let you go for a minute.
Well, man, this is first of all, it was a lot of fun as far as a fan goes, a lot of fun and also a lot of agony. Because as a fan, I was upset at times, very upset. In fact, at one time I kicked something and bruised my foot and said some words I shouldn't have said around people that were probably on the lines of four-letter-ish words. I lost my cool a little bit at a few things I saw in that game. But overall, it was a great win for South Carolina. Georgia's a very good team, but Georgia's a very conservative team. And Georgia's kind of team that they have a hard time adjusting sometimes, I think. And also Georgia, too, this season especially. At receiver, Georgia doesn't have a lot of guys who scare you at receiver. They got a lot of guys who can make catches, who can run routes, but not a guy, I mean, but they're guys I mean, you're not scared of those guys going over the top for long touchdowns. They don't have the speed they had last year. That helped us. Plus, South Carolina did a great job stopping the run game. Great job. I mean, Georgia ran for a lot of yards, but they averaged 4 yards a carry. And if Georgia averages 4 yards a carry with that big offensive line, you got to feel pretty good. I did. I thought they played the run very well. I thought at times Muschamp made some mistakes. He made less than I thought he did. I mean, he made less than I thought he did after re-watching the game. At one time, I thought he did something really stupid that he did not do. So I got to apologize to him for thinking that.
What? Which one? What are you talking about?
Okay. I thought Muschamp, when we were driving the ball at the end of that game, it was 17-17. It was 4th-and-3 with 45 seconds left. And I thought we called timeout.
I thought you did too.
Called timeout. After rewatching that game, it was Georgia. And I watched again to be sure, but they said it was Georgia. They called a timeout, so I got to believe them. Because if that was Muschamp, I was beyond angry when I thought it was him. Because I'm like, what are you doing? Because there was 26 still on the play clock. Wind it down to one, call timeout with 19 seconds left. If you go for it, let the play clock run down. Because that way, if you get it, you still have two timeouts left, and they have no time if you don't get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it was Georgia that did that. So with that being said, okay, I gotta give him a pass for that. But I still think trying the field goal was dumb.
Yeah.
At the time, I said this is stupid. I think you have to go for that, because I think getting 3 yards on fourth down is a lot more likely than making a 58-yard field goal. I know it was Joyner in the game. I know that you're a little bit, I mean, somewhat limited with him. But at the same time, I think it was a bad move. We were lucky because Georgia had two timeouts and 40 seconds to go with the best kicker in the country.
Yeah.
So we were very, very lucky there that he didn't, bite us in the back. But of course, we ended up getting a field goal or a pick and a field goal chance to win the game in the first overtime, and we shank it Reminded me of NC State Clemson. I had those visions of NC State Clemson.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because it was the same kind of kick. A 33-yard kick straight on. He just missed it right. Same thing NC State did. I thought it was over. But then again, somehow it wasn't. And the defense stepped up, which I give a ton of credit to our defense. And their run-stopping skills, it was fantastic. But like I said, Muschamp made some things he did some things I didn't get. Like in the first half of the second quarter, if you remember this.
I know exactly what you're going to talk about. Yep.
Okay. We had a pass to the tight end who got close to the first down marker. And they marked him a yard shy.
It
was a horrible spot. Upon replay, he was never down. He was actually on top of the defender. He was never down. And he got the first down. Well, our coaches on the sideline are saying that. You can see them. Oh, no, it's first down. And we hurry up to the line of scrimmage. Instead of letting them review it or calling timeout for them to review it, we run a play, we false start, move back 5 yards, we punt. That's inexcusable, Greg. As a coach, you have to listen to your assistants. They say, no, coach, he got it. Why would you hurry up? I get why you want to in a way, but that has not worked for us this year. We've had a lot of penalties trying to do that. And we have not cleaned that up yet, so why keep trying it?
Right, and to me, the fact that it's the first half, timeouts are—they're not valuable in the first half, by and large.
Yeah, we had three.
Right, you had three, and how much time was left? A minute or two? A couple minutes?
Yeah, a couple minutes.
Why not just call the timeout? Because there's no sense in going to the locker room with them, and they don't really mean much in the first half, by and large. Anyway, call the timeout anyway, and let them review that.
Review it, and you're right; they give it back to you.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, and heck, you get one challenge a half that he can miss. But it was just, it made no sense to me doing that. Now, because against Georgia, look, when you're on the road playing a Georgia or you're playing whoever, a top 10 team, every possession matters.
Yes.
And you have to maximize every possession. And if that means a chance to get 3 points, 7 points, whatever, you have to play smart and try to maximize every possession. We didn't do that. But I thought the guys were very well prepared on defense, especially. Ron Hillis, he got hurt. You can't help that. That's part of the game. You put Joyner in. The game plan changes, but they didn't change the game plan. I don't really understand that. Joyner's running the same offense he ran with Alinsky. He has
not
a different
set. Yeah.
That's totally different. He is a run-first quarterback. He's an athlete. He's like I don't say who he's like, but he's just an athletic quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he could throw somewhat, but he's a better runner. But they didn't tailor the game plan to him. That made no sense. Why not run more read option with him instead of running more of the spread RPO stuff, which really wasn't RPO, but it was, I mean, he didn't, I mean, I think one time he actually ran this, I mean, the zone read where he actually kept the ball was one time. I don't get that. Use his, you let him use his strengths to help you out as a football team. We didn't do that. I don't understand that. Whatsoever. That makes no sense to me. But luckily, Kirby Smart's a dumbass too. Because
yes, he is.
His game plan was really conservative and boring. I mean, I don't know why George didn't try more outside runs. It was all inside. Our strength of our defense is our defensive tackles. That's our strength. So when you run inside, and also our middle linebacker too. So you run inside runs, you run towards our strength. Or if you run outside runs, you make our guys tackle in space. They didn't do that. I don't know why. I'm glad they didn't. But it didn't make any sense not to try it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just to do the same thing over and over again. And it worked a little bit, but they averaged 4 yards a carry, and they got backs like Swift and Zamir White and Harry and those guys. Didn't hurt us that much. I thought that the timeout they called was really retarded. Oh, that's a good word to say. Whenever we were going for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime, and we were on about the, I don't know, Greg, 13-yard line or so, and play clock's running down.
Yes, why did he do that? Yeah.
I'm like, get on the line and stay at the ball, and he calls a timeout. Bailed us out. Because that had been a 5-yard penalty, we'd have had to kick a field goal. I'm going to kick the field goal anyway. But move it back 5 yards for a kid who just missed one from 33 instead of having him kick one from 25 or whatever it was, it could be a big difference. So that was really dumb on Kirby's part. Look, at the end of the day, I think Muschamp knows defense. And Kirby, too, both these guys. They know defense. They're actually good at recruiting, but as far as game day decisions, I'm just not. They're not very good, and it's worse with Will Muschamp because he's been a coach for longer. This is not his first gig. He was coach at Florida for 4 years at Florida. This is his fourth year at South Carolina, and he's still kind of making pretty bad decisions on game day. You as a casual fan, our friends as casual fans would say that's not smart. He needs to do better than that. But as far as you being prepared, especially on defense, I'm very proud of the effort. Very proud. Mm-hmm. And the kids, very proud of the players. Very proud of those guys. They play their butts off. Got a big win. But I just wish sometimes I like Coach Muschamp. I do. I just wish he would not like panic under pressure or whatever. Make more sound game time decisions.
Yep, I think that's fair. I went back and looked. You were right. Georgia called that timeout. I thought it was South Carolina. I think the announcers at the time said it was South Carolina. Or maybe even the ref said it was South Carolina.
But watching again.
No, I went back and looked at the official the official play-by-play, and it's Georgia called that timeout, which makes it better. I still don't like kicking the 58-yarder or whatever it was.
It's a bad decision.
Well, because you got to think, man, you got to play the percentages. What are the odds that you hit this kick? Not very good. And it's 4th and 3. What are the odds you get 3 yards? I don't know, 40%.
Make a 58-yard field goal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and on top of that, you can if you don't get it, they don't have any timeouts, right? So because I think that was their last one. So you run the clock at least if you don't get it. And I don't know. It's just heck, Blake.
They had two timeouts.
They still had two at that point? Okay.
They had two timeouts, but the odds of getting it on 4th and 3 are better than getting it a 58-yard kick. So theoretically, it's a higher percentage play going for it. Because all of a sudden, if you don't get it, they have the ball at the 41-yard line with the best kicker in the country with two timeouts and 40 seconds.
Yeah.
He would have gotten a shot to kick that last ball, but they had a false start or something.
Yeah, they did. That pushed him just out. But I don't. Part of me is like, dude, if you're not confident in your offense getting the 3 yards, then punt it, because you're not making the 58-yard kick. That's just not going to happen.
No. I think you go for it.
I think you do too. I think you do too. You know, you got to.
I mean, the 58-yard kick, man. The kid's his career long is 49.
Yeah, and the announcers, at least, they said something to the effect of, he's said his max is just like 50. He's not – and if he's not confident kicking a 58-yarder, then don't make him do it.
And not only that, Greg, he's kicking on the hash.
Yeah.
The hash is longer than the middle, so it's really like 60. So he's on the right hash, which is the worst hash to be on if you're a right-footed kicker, is the right hash. He's on the worst hash to be on. And it makes a kick longer than if it's in the middle of the field, so it's more like a 60-yard kick on the hash. This is dumb.
But you guys got the win. Great win for you.
I'm very proud of the team, proud of the effort, proud of the preparation I'm extremely proud of.
Yeah.
So, and also the dealing with adversity, losing your starting quarterback and going to the backup and still winning the game, even though he didn't do much. Still winning the game is very impressive. I'm very proud of the guys.
Yep, I can totally get that. And we got an email from our buddy Roy, South Carolina fan, and he said he actually had an interesting story because I didn't see this. I'm always Saturday mornings I turn game day on and then I just do other stuff and have it on in the background.
I kind of do too.
I rarely sit down and intently watch it. But anyway, he says, while I was watching game day this morning, they showed the UGA team coming into the stadium, normal pregame stuff. I was watching Jake, who seemed to be going through the motions, Jake Fromm, as most college athletes do, because that is what is required of them. He was fist bumping the people lined up along the walk. Then he suddenly stopped and hugged one young lady. I thought to myself how odd it was for him to do this. As he let her go and moved on, it became obvious to me that the young lady to whom he was giving this little extra measure of attention had Down syndrome. He didn't make a big deal of it, and the announcers didn't even notice it. He just walked on fist bumping those in front of him. But I thought that was truly nice of this young man to give this little bit of extra attention to that young lady. I told my wife that I didn't really want to like him going into this game, but it is nice to see these young men being decent. We always hear about it when they are not, but most of us don't really notice when they do. You're exactly right, Roy. I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't notice it either, and you make a great point. We always hear about what these guys do when they do make mistakes. But they also deserve praise when they're praiseworthy too. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I wonder if he had a relationship with that little girl.
I don't know.
I wonder if he had some kind of relationship, which that happens sometimes. And I mean, regardless if he did or didn't, it's really cool of him to do that, to get, because, you know, those guys are heroes to a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if you're starting quarterback for Georgia, you're a hero. Or for South Carolina, for Georgia, a lot of kids idolize you. And I think it means more to a child, maybe with some disabilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, heck, like,
I could be wrong, but it's just, it's like Roy says, it's good to see guys that are that sensitive to,
they're just being good people.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a good word, but yeah. Just being good people. And I hope he's like that with kids. Like, I mean, all kids, basically. I hope he's like that. You know, if it's a kid who's, whether they got Down syndrome or they have cancer or something like that, I hope he's like that with those kids too. Because I don't know. I watch that Make-A-Wish stuff, Greg, and that's some of the most, it's the saddest thing you ever see. But those kids, I mean, those kids are so, I mean, God, those kids are treated well by a guy like Jake Fromm. They'll never forget that. And I mean, and I'm not saying that all kids, I mean, no kids would, but it's just the kids that are, I don't know, kind of the, it's hard to describe what I'm thinking.
No, I know. It means a lot. And
I mean, major props to Jake Fromm for that.
No,
major
for sure.
It's just totally cool to do that. And I mean, for any quarterback to do things like that, or any player, if they see kids, just give them a high five, hug them. I mean, Tim Tebow was great about that too, by the way.
Yeah, he was.
Still is, frankly. He's a wonderful dude.
I saw an article the other day where he went to visited a prison and had a push-up competition with one of the inmates and lost.
Did he really?
Yeah. Because he was challenged. One of the inmates was like, let's do push-up competition. And Tebow's like, all right, you know.
That's just a backup dude.
Yeah. But I agree. And thanks, Roy, for pointing that out, because I didn't see that. And, Blake, I don't think you did either. But
Yeah. And I didn't say what I was thinking very clearly there. It didn't make much sense.
No, I think it came across.
I actually agree totally with you. Great point. Yeah, awesome to see athletes do good things and not always be, in the news for bad things.
Right,
yeah,
to use their notoriety, to use their fame, if you want to call it, and do good things with it. I think that's great. But I do want to point the spotlight back on your chickens, because I got to ask you, I have not heard what the injury update is with Helsinki.
But here's the thing with Muschamp. I don't trust Muschamp when it comes to injuries. Because he says things a lot of times like, oh, they're fine, they're healthy, then they don't play the next week. So I'm expecting him, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be Joyner playing Saturday, not Helsinki.
Yeah.
But says he's fine, because he says he's fine, I almost think he's not.
Well,
and he had a dadgum brace up his leg, Greg, that was as big as his leg was.
Yes.
He's fine this week.
Yeah. I think your next two games, you might be able to get by with Joyner. You go to Tennessee, then you have Vandy at home. After that, Blake, you ain't winning if you don't have – or I'm sorry, you have Florida. Ooh, that's right. You might – you have Florida next. I was looking at Tennessee next.
Yeah.
You may not have really given yourself much of a chance against Florida anyway. I don't think you have a chance with Joyner at quarterback, unfortunately. But
I'll tell you why we do our picks. But if I'm South Carolina, if Helsinki's 70%, I play Joyner against Florida.
Interesting.
I do, because I don't want him to get, because look, we need him for the home stretch, and he can easily get re-injured at 70%, and we got our win at Georgia, so that's kind of the it's a win we did not expect to get. So I'm not saying we're playing with house money, but here's the thing for South Carolina. You got to beat Tennessee, Vandy, and App State, to go to a bowl.
Right.
What you got to do? Florida, like you say, I don't think we're going to beat Florida, but I don't think we have any less chance with Joyner than Helsinki.
Hmm.
Just for this game, And I'll tell you why when we talk about it.
All right, fair enough. Before we get there, Blake, 5-2 this week. Nicely done. I was 4-3, a game behind, but you've been doing really well this season. Hall of Fame, yeah. Hall of Fame, Hall of Shame. Who do you got?
Oh, God, we haven't done that yet, have we? Let's see. Hall of Fame. I've got, first of all, the LSU offense. Florida's got a pretty good defense. They made them look silly Saturday. They averaged almost 11 yards a play Saturday.
Wow.
Think about that. Almost 11 yards. They ran less than 50 plays and had over 500 yards of offense. LSU did. Incredible. So their offense, that is, quarterback, receivers, offensive line, everybody. Major, major Hall of Fame there. Fantastic. And also Kyle Trask. I thought he played a great game, too. For a kid, like we said earlier, hasn't played since JV, and to be thrust in the SEC spotlight and do what he did and has done this year for a first-time player in years is incredible to me. So I'm going to give the Hall of Fame to both the LSU offense and Kyle Trask.
That's interesting. The opposing sides of the same game both get Hall of Fame. That's interesting.
Yep.
I'm going in along the same veins. I'm giving it to LSU as a whole and Coach O for exactly what Bill said. Coach O is now 7-3 against top 10 teams. To me, that is unfathomable if your name is not Nick Saban. He said it's the same. What did he say? He said it's the same as Dabo and Kirby Smart. I didn't know that Kirby was 7-3 against top 10 teams.
I didn't either.
I didn't know Dabo was 7-3. I knew he had to be close. He had to be up there. But I didn't know Kirby was at 7-3. I just think 7-3 against top 10 is phenomenal. Especially for a guy that a lot of people didn't have a lot of faith in.
I think the world's a better place because he's doing well.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. I agree.
I really believe that.
All right, Blake, what about Hall of Shame? Who's in your Hall of Shame this week?
I had must have a Kirby Smart for decision making. We already talked about that. So no reason to rehash that. I've got Dave Aranda, LSU defensive coordinator.
Okay.
I don't get it. This guy's making $2.5 million a year. He's supposed to be this genius, and I didn't see, and like you said earlier, I'm watching this game like no adjustments, nothing. I mean, why does he make that kind of money? I think this guy's overrated as crap, Greg.
Fair.
I mean, just show me, look, when I see a DC in a game, show me adjustments. Show me doing something different. And I don't mean adjustments, I got to wait till halftime. No, you can do it now. I don't know why you have to wait till halftime. If you're not getting pressure, send somebody, or play different, have guys shoot gaps, whatever you want to do. But he didn't seem to make any adjustments, Greg. And you said the same thing. And it's funny you said that because I agree totally with you. I was just not impressed with the guy. So he's a bad DC, but to be called this genius and best in the country and make it $2.5 million a year, shoot, man, I disagree totally with that. You got to prove it to me, and he hasn't proven it to me. And also, a quick one for this guy, I think his name's Dan Orlovsky, the color man for the South Carolina Georgia game.
Oh, yeah.
He sucks. Yeah. That guy's horrible. He would say something, and I was watching the game with three other people, and all of us said, and we all he's crazy. We all disagreed with him, Greg. Like, he'd make a big point. We're like, no, it's the opposite. So, that guy sucks, man. You think it's Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Not impressed with the guy. And then Dave Aranda. What about you?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Blake, because I was watching the game. I was not watching the game with you, but I could sense your anger at some of the things he would say. I could feel it. And I'm like,
yeah, you can feel
I'll bet.
The Carolinas.
I'll bet Blake is seething right now based on that dumb statement. So I knew that was going to be the case for you. I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, but not much different. Blake, my Hall of Shame, the refs. You gave the officials a Hall of Shame in the ACC.
The refs getting the Hall of Shame.
Refs in the Georgia game, Blake, were atrocious. With something that
they were off. I didn't mention some of that crap. Yeah.
Yes, that's something that's gone by the wayside a little bit because I think everybody pretty much realized that the refs were helping Georgia. And look, this is me. I take no pleasure in seeing South Carolina win a big game over a top five team. I take no pleasure in that. But I try to watch it as objectively as possible, and I'm like, man, the refs are keeping Georgia in this game. It's particularly with that phantom hold call, which, by the way, It was horrendous. For one, Blake, it was not even. It shouldn't have been called, no matter what. It was the guy's hand brushed against the other guy's jersey, and that's the flag.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm like, well, that's not pass interference because the ball went in the stands practically.
They called a hold though.
But they called a hold, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought it was a hold until the ball was in the air. I didn't know you could call a hold when the ball's in the air. And the ball was clearly in the air at this point. And they still called a hold. They did that just to get the loophole where they didn't have to call it uncatchable. There were a few other little things here and there too. That was the big one for me because that saved their drive. They got a first down in that when it was, I think that was a fourth down, was it not?
Yes, it was. Fourth down. Yep.
Like fourth and 14 or something, and they throw it in the stands, and then this flag comes in for this phantom hold. I thought that was ridiculous, and there were a few other ones, too, that I
can't. I don't know. It was on a lot of spots in this game.
Yeah, and not to mention the spot that you brought up earlier where the guy clearly – first of all, I thought it was a bad spot even if they had called him down called him. But he actually wasn't down either way, and to not go back and review that, you can put a lot of that on Muschamp, and I do. Yep. But a lot of it, look, we shouldn't have to second guess the refs on a play by play basis, and it seems like we almost do these days.
Those are what we call, Greg. Those are playoff flags.
Mm-hmm.
The playoffs are such big money that don't think those refs aren't protecting Georgia and Alabama.
Hey, and Clemson, too.
Oklahoma, the Big 12, and Ohio State, the Big 10. You go on and on down the list. Because it's such big money. It's big money. It's hard. It's hard for a team like South Carolina or a team like Ole Miss or a team like Wake Forest. You know what I mean? If there is benefit of any doubt, you're not getting it.
Yep.
Period.
Don't think that I forgot about when we went to A&M last year and the ball came out, and did it come out in the end zone? Did it come out before the pylon? And of course we got the benefit of that call. Granted, I think that was a little bit closer. I don't know if it was 50-50, but it was closer to 50-50 than the phantom hold call that kept Georgia in the game. But at the same time,
I tell you, the game last year, remember the one play that they didn't call was you had a deep pass and your guy just pushed the guy down and it was a no call.
Well, we're known for that. You would know about that, wouldn't you?
I mean, but it's just, that's a non-playoff flag. Yeah. That's a part of life. Georgia, that's a playoff flag. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, they can't convince me of anything else.
No. And I was watching it. I was watching it, Blake, and Georgia was sort of scrambling to stay in it late, and the refs just kept bailing them out time and time again. And it got to the point where, and like I said, I try to stay objective. I actually was pulling for you guys, but not enough to really be passionate about it. But I was like, these are some BS calls. Like this is just objectively bad and seemingly skewed in only one direction. Now, as you mentioned, there were some decisions that were made that didn't help, but at the same time, you shouldn't have to work against the refs too. You know,
there was a game, the pro game, the Jets and Cowboys. You watch that game?
I watched part of it. Yeah.
At one point in time, I think they threw three straight pass interference calls against the Jets when the Cowboys were coming back.
Yeah,
three straight. Yeah, you think that's legit?
Mm.
No. That's a Cowboy flag. There, it's just so obvious, man. Refs, look, I hate to be like Jim Mora Sr., who, by the way, is a great man. And Bill probably – he's a Saints coach, so Bill probably likes him too because he was back in the day, he was a Saints coach and was very quotable.
Yeah, and his last game was with the Saints against the Panthers. Yeah.
But he went and coached the Colts after that. Remember, the playoffs.
Oh, that was after. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But he said, yeah, the refs are below average today. But he goes, I think they're usually below average. Find me. I don't care. I wish we had more coaches like that would speak out, had the guts to do it.
Like a Gundy.
Average.
Yeah.
It's awful. Or like when they review a play and even after review, they get it wrong. You're like, who screwed a review up Saturday, Greg? Did somebody screw it? Oh, the Louisville Wake Forest game, which we talked about
in the other podcast.
Yeah, so anyway, man, refs do suck. Great Hall of Shame.
Thank you. All right, well, let's move on. We'll take a little break, and then we'll do predictions and power rankings. And we're back. All right, Blake, let's talk predictions for this coming week, starting with Auburn at Arkansas. Auburn is an 18.5-point favorite coming into this game. What do you think, Blake? What happens here?
I've been picking Arkansas too much. I've been getting burned. I'm picking Auburn to win and cover. I think Arkansas is just – they're just not there yet. Give me Auburn 42-21.
All right. I'm you know what? I'm sticking with Arkansas on the points. At home, Fayetteville, I'm going to ride this horse.
All right, yeah. Right.
Eventually, Arkansas's got to cover a spread. Eventually, I would assume. I think Auburn wins this game comfortably, wins it pretty easily. Yeah. But at the same time, 18.5 in Fayetteville, it's probably safe. But just for the sake of argument, I'm going to say it's not. Give me Auburn 37-21.
All right. Okay.
How about LSU at Mississippi State? LSU is a 19-point favorite. What do you think?
Right now, LSU's a juggernaut, man, and I got them winning and covering 45-17.
Yep, I agree with similar score, 42-21 for me.
Yep.
How about Mizzou at Vandy? Mizzou's coming in as a 21.5-point favorite.
I like Mizzou to win and cover. Mizzou's playing great ball. Vandy isn't giving Mizzou 38-14.
Same score for me, Blake, 38-14. We tend to do that every week, seems
like.
Yeah,
every once in a while we do.
All right, Kentucky at Georgia. So this is interesting, Blake. Georgia's a 24.5-point favorite, which is, I think, what they were last week. Is that not right? 24.5, yeah. So does Georgia bounce back this week? I mean, I think we know they get the win here. There's no way Vandy's coming into – Kentucky's coming into Athens and getting the win. Does Georgia bounce back and get the style points? Are they angry? Are they motivated this week?
I think we find out a lot about Georgia this week, actually, because if they don't, you're like, okay, is this Georgia team not what we thought they were? But I think they do. I think Georgia comes back, bounces back, is pissed off, pounds Kentucky 42-10.
Yep, I agree. I got Georgia winning easily 49-13.
All right, I agree with you.
How about A&M at Ole Miss? This is a big one for A&M, as we talked about. And, heck, every game moving forward now is a big one. You're a three-win team. A&M's 6.5-point favorite. What happens here, Blake?
I like the upset. Give me the Rebels, man. Ah. I like Ole Miss to win this game. I guess you picked an upset, too.
I did.
I did the same thing. Give me Ole Miss 27-24.
All right, I had a similar score, too. This is going to be my upset of the week. Ole Miss 24-21 on my end.
Yep, it's funny we both got that.
Yeah, all right, well, okay, interesting. Let's see. Oh, I didn't even put your game on here, did I? I'll do that real quick. Tennessee at Bama. Bama is a 34.5-point favorite. What happens here, Blake?
I'm taking Tennessee in the points, baby.
All
Bama
right.
This game easily beat. Bama Stevens holds. You mean Bama 48-17.
48-17. All right, let's get that down. I've got
– what's the spread?
34.5.
Okay, that's right.
So, ooh, barely. I've actually got Tennessee covering as well, but barely. I think Bama wins this one running away, but at the same time, 34.5 is a lot. Give me Bama to win 45-13.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
How about your chickens in Gainesville? I didn't get this down. I don't know how I missed that. Your chickens are a 5.5. That's right. It is in Columbia. I'm sorry. Your chickens are a 5.5-point dog. What's going to happen here, Blake?
Well, I picked this score without even knowing what the spread is, and I got the chickens covered. I got Florida winning, but I got the chickens covering the spread. And I'm going to tell you why. And that's why I told you with Joyner, it doesn't make that much difference if he plays in this game or not. We got what we call a tropical depression heading our way, which will be there Saturday, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Out in the Gulf, yeah.
It's a game Saturday. Looks like anyway right now. If it is a rainy game, then Joyner makes more sense than Helensky, frankly, because he can run. A rainy game keeps Kyle Trask maybe not as productive as you would like because he's not throwing it as much. A rainy game keeps the fans away more, so it hurts us in that way. With all that being said, I like Florida to win, but I like this to be a close game. Florida 20-16.
Interesting. Actually,
rainy Williams-Brice.
Actually, I picked Florida to win, but I picked the chickens and the points as well. I'll tell you this, Blake. With what you guys did last week, I don't think rain will keep the fans away. It would have to be pretty robust rainstorm to keep the fans away. I think the fans will be raucous. A noon game does hurt you. It'd be nice if this were a night game. But at the same time, a noon game in October is a whole lot better than a noon game in August or September. So the fans, I think, will be out even if there is a little bit of rain, I think they'll make their presence known. Give me Florida to win, but give me the Chickens to cover 27-22. So barely on that side of the
that's
line.
That's a good pick, man.
All right, how about power rankings? Let's start at the bottom. We'll say Vandy at the same time. Vandy, yeah.
Vandy.
How about 13, Blake?
Arkansas.
Yep, same here. Gotta do it. What about 12?
Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. How about 11?
Mississippi State.
Okay, hang on. I got Tennessee at 11.
Okay.
How about 10?
I got Tennessee at 10.
All right, I got Mississippi State at 10.
You don't factor that win much last week, do you?
Nope, I don't. You know, hey,
okay, all right.
Yeah, good, okay. Good win, but in the grand scheme of things,
come on. I dig it.
How about 9?
Ole Miss.
Same. How about 8?
Texas A&M.
That's where I got them, too. I was wondering where you were going to put them. How about 7?
Carolina.
Yeah, I got the Chickens. How about 6?
Zoo.
Interesting. I got Auburn at 6.
Good Lord, how you got Auburn at 6?
Hey, out of sight, out of mind. And also, they disappointed me last time out. Meanwhile, Mizzou's made one mistake all season, and it was out of conference. I got Mizzou at 5.
All right.
How about, who you got at 5?
Georgia.
Ooh, wow. Okay, we differ on this. All right.
Yep.
How about 4?
Florida.
I got Florida at 4. Who you got at 3?
Auburn.
I got Georgia at 3.
All
right. That's right. No change from last week.
Interesting.
Just because I just don't think the teams below them are, that I have, I don't think they're better than
I think Auburn's a good team. I mean, they had a bad game on the road against Florida.
Well,
I
so did Mizzou. You know, come on. They had a bad game on the road.
Kind of Wyoming.
Altitude, brother. Altitude.
Yeah, okay.
How about number 2?
This is actually tough for me.
I know.
And based on body of work, I got Bama at 2.
Ooh, interesting. You pulled the trigger on it.
I did, because based on body of work, what I've seen so far this year, who has a better running game? Right now, LSU does. Who has a better passing game? Pretty damn even. They're both really good. Who has a better defense? I don't know, man. It's close. Body of work, LSU's beaten. They've beaten Florida. They've beaten on the road at Texas. Bama's beaten. Who have they beaten so far that's any good?
They beat A&M.
I mean, that's a good win. But I think LSU has better wins.
Yeah, they do.
It's two pretty even teams, and their body of work's better. Give me go Tigers, number 1.
No, I think their body of work is better. Bama's beaten Duke, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. But
he's beaten, and I mean, they've beaten Texas on the road and Florida.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think their body of work is better. It's tough for me, though. It's tough.
I know it is, this is power rankings. This could change week to week. This week, right now, on Thursday, October 17th, I like LSU number 1.
I got Bama number 1, LSU 2.
Get it? And that's perfectly normal to do that.
I think,
and I understand.
I think it's just a philosophical difference in how you rank these teams for power rankings. I do it where, who do I want to play? Who do I not want to play? Rank them that way.
I get that.
And body of work, I think you're absolutely right. I think LSU's got the best resume of anybody in the country, body of work, right now.
I guess.
Well, whose would be better?
I don't know. They might have the body of work. I don't know.
Oklahoma's beat Texas. Who else?
Texas is good. Texas, who else are they beating?
I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head. Let me see.
Texas and...
They beat somebody else. Who else?
Yeah, they did. Pretty easily. But not. I don't think it's as good as LSU's 2 wins, I don't think.
No, they haven't beaten anybody else. They beat UCLA. They beat Houston. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Kansas, South Dakota.
Yeah, okay, you're right. I mean, LSU's body works as good as anybody's. Yeah. If Auburn would have beaten Florida, I'd have given the edge to Auburn, but they didn't, so.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah.
I like yours better. I want LSU to be number 1.
I think this game, I'm so looking forward to this game, Greg. It'll probably be one of those low scoring games when it happens but I think this game could be a game for the ages, like a 45, like a Boston College Miami game circa 1984, Doug Flutie Hail Mary, 47-45 kind of game.
I know. It's just like you said, the games that we hype up rarely live up to that hype.
I know, man. But I am looking forward to that game. I just wish it was in Baton Rouge because, I'm going to be honest, I'm out front with it. I'm pulling for LSU in that game, big time, and nothing against Bama, but I just prefer LSU. As you, as a Clemson fan, you prefer to play LSU or Bama right now? Probably LSU, wouldn't you? You'd rather play LSU.
I'd rather play LSU just because.
It's the playoff. They have no experience.
Yeah. I'd rather play LSU. Yeah. That's not to say that I think we'd have a better chance of beating LSU. I'd just rather play LSU.
I get it. I mean, because I think I would too, because. And I would rather play LSU than Oklahoma if I was Clemson. And I mean, that may sound crazy, but just because they've been there. LSU has not been there. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there, but y'all have owned Oklahoma pretty good, so maybe you want to play them. I don't know.
I don't know, man. You never want
to. Regardless, man. I mean, this is two teams that are both really good. You can flip a coin with them. You've got LSU or you got Bama out of LSU. Hey, you know, there isn't a wrong answer.
Correct.
So, and I like your power. I don't understand your Missouri and Auburn thing, but other than that, I agree.
I just, you know, I'm just waiting for Auburn to do. I'm not anti-Auburn. I'm not.
You're a little anti-Auburn there, Greg.
No, I hate Bama. How could I be anti-Auburn?
You hate all things Alabama except for Dabo Sweeney. We all know that.
That's correct, yes.
Justin Ross, too, by the way. Justin Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just with Auburn, I'm set up to believe that they're gonna collapse because they do every year, and I think maybe we've started to see that process already. I don't know yet. We'll see. Yeah. But I don't know.
It's gonna be a hard time. I get it. I mean, Auburn, they're playing a freshman quarterback who's unproven. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, I'm looking forward to November. What is it? 9th when Bama plays LSU. I think Blake. Yeah. I can sum up my logic behind putting Bama number one with a quote that you'll know very well. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Understandably so. Yep, I agree with that. I mean, I get it.
Honestly, I think for the most part that wouldn't apply in other conferences. You know, maybe Clemson and in the ACC, of course. But in the SEC, it does. Bama has been the man for so long in the SEC that, like, they get the benefit of that doubt until they don't.
I get it. I'm ready for somebody to knock them off that
roof, man. I am too.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's been too long. I'm a fan that, look, my team ain't sniffing that throne, okay? But at the same time, as a football fan, my God, can we not get somebody else in the mix? And also, frankly, in the ACC. For Clemson.
No, that's
Clemson's
good.
For too dang long. I mean, how the Big 12 Oklahoma now? I mean, how long have they ruled the roost there? I mean, Ohio State. I mean, it's the same teams that are always good, and you're like, okay, we need new blood. LSU, Wisconsin, Duke. I don't know. Somebody else, you know.
No, I think the ACC is fine, but those other conferences need more competition. Those other conferences,
exactly. I see you, brother. I hear you on that.
All right, listeners, we appreciate you guys slugging through this. We got a long episode this week. Hopefully, make up for our tardiness. At the same time, we appreciate you guys listening. Check out the ACC podcast as well. Drop us a line, BlakeandGreg@yahoo.com. In the meantime, Blake, enjoy this weekend. Enjoy the nice weather, and we'll come back next week and do it all over again.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
It was fun.